You are now entering Zone 4. Please be seated and prepare to experience the nerd aristocracy. Any offences encountered by today's broadcast will not be the responsibility of the Mars Sivex Consolidated Drilling Corporation or its subsidiaries.
Welcome to the Nerd Aristocracy, the podcast for all things nerd. Available worldwide at nerdaristocracy.com. The leaders of the nerd proletariat, your esteemed hosts, Jonathan Bell and Ryan Reinecke.
What's going on, proletariat? Jonathan Bell alongside Ryan Reinecke. We both are looking like we've been hit by trucks. And it's about 10 o'clock at night, which would typically be, I'd say, 10 years ago, it would be the start of the evening for us.
Yeah, this would be looking through the wardrobe,
right?
Kind of thing, and talking to people on the phone.
Which shoes should I wear?
How should I style my hair?
Should I bring a toothbrush? Should I not bring a toothbrush?
Condoms. Armed or unarmed.
Right. Yeah. Now, not so much. Now it's, wow, it's 10 o'clock. I wanted to be in bed an hour ago, but I'm going to do the podcast and then record an audition, which will probably be the most lacking energy audition I have ever done in my life.
And then the specter of tomorrow hangs, where there is just shit to shovel.
That's true.
And the truck that hit us, we see, is the tailpipe of life as it drives down the highway.
Right.
Of creation.
Yes. The sad part is, it didn't come at us with its lights off.
Mm-mm.
Like, it had its brights on. We knew it was coming.
Yeah.
And we still got fucking run over.
That's what we got dressed for. We were like, hey, it's a party. Let's dance in front of these lights.
I brought my toothbrush for the mortician.
Yeah.
To fucking give me a once-over before they powder me up.
And the condom, so he doesn't cause too much rectal damage.
This is one of the weird things I think about while driving in my car.
Mortician's raping you?
Close. Mm-hmm. I thought, since the price of gold has gone up,
mm-hmm.
how many fucked up, like, embalmer, mortician assistant, whatevers, have just said, you know what? Why don't I pull out this back molar?
Pull a Schindler's List. Nobody's going to notice.
Yeah. I mean, because loved ones typically aren't going to be rooting around in the back of the mouth of the dead, you would hope.
I don't know who you're related to.
But, you know, it's so the mortician might justify it by saying, A, no one will ever know. B, this is $100 going to waste.
Yeah, there's a finite capacity of gold on the market.
Right.
It's precious, you know.
Gold is extremely expensive, so whereas 5 years ago they might have been able to write it off and be like, oh, it's only $20 in gold.
Mm-hmm. Maybe even put some gold in
there.
That's
not worth desecrating the dead. Some guy might think, hey, we run 30 old people through here a month.
Mm-hmm.
If I get one tooth out of each of their heads, that's $100 a pop. That's $3,000 a month. That's $36,000 a year.
Well, that's a good question to pose to the proletariat, is how much money is worth it to transmute desecration into recycling?
Okay.
Like when it's not a waste anymore, you know, when it's justified.
That goes back to the question I've posed on the podcast before, but never really gotten a solid answer. Maybe I should email like a archaeologist or something. But when does a body become a artifact? You know, when does grave robbing
become a historical
a dig?
Right.
An archaeological dig. Now, I've never gotten that answer.
Well, I'm going to say 1972. Everything before that is fine.
Okay.
It's long enough. Nobody from that time period is still alive.
Will you show me where your rich uncle was buried?
Mm-hmm.
I just want to put some flowers down.
I'll show you where he was buried. Sure. Okay. Yeah, no problem.
That's fair.
Yeah.
So, what's been going on this week? in the world of Ryan Thaddeus Reinecke?
Today was the science fair, the 2012 Science and Mathematics Convention at the Mississippi Gulf Coast Coliseum Regional for all the schools on the Mississippi Gulf Coast from Pascagoula to Pascagoula. My kid was there representing Oak Park Elementary.
Oak Park!
Used to be called East Elementary back in my time, but they've expanded the city boundary, so it's no longer in the East, so they renamed it Oak Park. She was in...
We call it OP on the streets.
The OP?
Yes.
That's what the kids call it. She was representing the category of health and medicine. And I talked a little bit about her project and basically how it was my project and my wife's project. And the kid was just kind of acting by proxy for us. And how we kind of wrote things childlike, like retarded, so the judges would buy that she actually did it. And she won first place in that whole category.
She won first place. Did she turn around and be like, nah, to all the other students?
Kind of. She hit them in the head with her medal as she went back to her seat. Okay. Like, not yours, not yours, not yours.
Was the medal made of...
gold?
Dead people's
It was made
teeth.
Of old Jew teeth.
Yes.
Precisely.
Right, yes.
It's a really odd shape. It's just kind of cobbled together. And now I have a secret. I know the science of gaming the science fair. Pun intended. One, don't make your project look too good.
Right.
You make your project look too good. We touched on this point last time. Obvious the parents had a heavy hand in it. Right. No kid can cut that straight, you know, for that long of time to cut out borders for everything and, like, meticulously glue these little 3D things on it. Those are parents that have no imagination. They're living through their kids' opportunity to create. So, one, don't make it look too good. Two, write things like a child would write, you know. Or that you would do if you were drunk and somebody was interrogating you. Just, I don't know. Just you put the things
together.
See,
I can vibe with that mm-hmm. much easier. That was a good reference.
Thank you.
I can't reel in 20 years ago,
right?
When I was an 8-year-old doing the science fair,
right? But, you're not too self-aware at that time.
I can definitely remember the fucked up nights where somebody was asking you a question and you're just like, you know what? I don't fucking know what kind of ravioli I like.
Yeah.
I'm drunk and I'm hungry. Fucking make some Chef Boyardee before I fucking beat you in the head with this can of lima beans.
That's exactly it, but cut out the violence and the four fuckings, and that's an 8-year-old talking.
That's it.
You got it.
Yes.
It's breaking stuff down that you don't want to go further into. So we did that. And also the table. You have to provide your own table and chair for your kid at the science fair. You gotta, like, bring a card table there and set it up. I mean, it's not a big deal, but it's like, really? Come on. How hard is it just to line up a bunch of, you know, standard Office Depot tables? You put four projects on a table, two on each side, back to back. Anyway, but that's also another way to game the system. You bring in your own card table. But ours, you may have seen at the skate park where we announced from time to time with Mississippi Roller Girls, it's a green one, and, like, the padding on the top is kind of ripped off in parts. So it just looks like you're not doing too good, you know? You have a card table that you're putting your child's presentation on, and it's got, like, some patches out of
it. So you're playing the poverty card.
Poverty card, very good. And you look around, and some parents have bought, like, little skirts to skirt their tables. Mm-hmm. That's too much. That's too much.
Yeah,
you can't see what's under that. You got to see the paint underneath.
You saying there might be, like, a fucking ventriloquist underneath your kid's table?
There might be. There might be, like, a little wire running to the kid's ear that, mm-hmm. like, prompts them to what to say.
Right.
You, as a judge, you just don't trust it. It's like, what are they hiding?
Yeah.
You know, when you're bald-faced, like, judge me as I am on the merit of this science.
Right.
And not the package that it is presented
on
to
the
you.
The science that my father worked so hard on.
Yeah, I beat that out of her. I was like, this is your project. But, Daddy, you did everything.
Right.
This is my project, yes. Oh. So don't make it look too good. Write it like a retarded person. Table, poverty card. And fourthly, have the kid conversely dressed very nice. Because this is subtle. This is telling the judges that you're ashamed and aware of your economic status. So you funneled everything into this last great hope of your kid. It's not just about your kid's science project. This is the family. This is your future of the entire unit, your lineage. So you're putting everything to dress the kid well. Kid was looking pretty smart. Nana bought the clothes. So the judge sees that they're like, shitty table, shitty looking project. The idea doesn't really matter. And the kids dress well. So they obviously went out of their way to make the kids dress well.
The most psychological breakdown I've ever heard of or relating to anything involving elementary school. There are elementary school counselors dealing with abused children that don't put in that much psychological thought into.
I think next year our project should be how to win a science fair by cheating. And that's like true. have it as a hypothesis.
You could just be sitting Indian style on top of the poker table.
Mm-hmm. Just still.
That could be the entire project.
And it's like a little button. Or my head just coming up. Yes. And they can ask it questions.
Right.
Let's see. And I think that's it. Another thing for the poverty card was the chair that she had, too. Mrs. was really not well thought out, but just worked so well together in retrospect. The chair that she had was not like a little folding chair from Walmart for kids. It's one of those molded blue plastic chairs that you see in every elementary school, right? With a little triangular hole in the back for picking up. You're familiar with the type,
I am.
Obviously, you can't buy this at Walmart. You can't buy this at Target. So where do you get these? You get these things at a thrift store or closeout school salvage sales, thus further hammering the poverty card. And all that tied together, she didn't have an iPod Touch, though, so that kind of goes
into... So it sounds like there was about 3% of actual science involved in the winning of this, of this science fair.
And the judge that announced it, or whatever he was, asked her what grade she was in. And then he announced the whole
room. Did she look at you for what she should say?
Yeah, she was... Well, I tap on my leg, like, counting cards.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, 7.5. The half is hard to do. You got to do a knuckle tap. And the judge said, wow, and her project's about aneurysms. I wish I was studying aneurysms when I was in the second grade. That's brilliant. And then everybody cheered.
What about when you're in your 30s and
helping
your kid out?
You don't mention that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. As you're helping your family out. You're a family man like the Godfather.
Mm-hmm.
So that was today. And then we went to lunch afterwards, actually during the break, and went to a Chinese buffet.
Okay.
And my daughter got one of the most sublime fortune cookie messages.
Really?
That I've ever seen.
Okay.
Not for what the fortune was, but for the learned Chinese that's on the back.
Okay.
You know?
Does it say, this is how you say, tell me where daddy touched you?
Not that kind of good.
Okay.
And she didn't understand why I snatched it from her, and I said, I'll hold this for you for safety.
Yes. That's, it's important to know.
It's probably the most useful Chinese phrase.
That nail salon.
I've ever seen.
Would also be important.
Yes, and is this dog.
Yes.
You know, which none of those, but it is, Quan Zi, which means dry cleaning.
Yes.
Very good. Quan Zi.
What is the actual fortune?
Well, that's not so important. many new friends will be attracted to your friendly and charming ways. And then I was like, in bed, Robin Wright. She was like, what are you talking about,
Daddy?
It sounds
like it's predicting your daughter will be a big-time slut.
Oh, God, I hope so.
Here very shortly.
Mine said it's better to be the hammer than the anvil. In bed.
That's
which
true.
Is yes. Good. Yeah. So we got to talk about rearranging
I
that.
I would agree with that pearl of wisdom. Well, that's cool. Well, so, on Sunday was...
the Super Bowl.
No. 6 months in my current relationship. So that
Ooh.
Was quite the milestone for me since as an adult. Typically, my relationships last about 2 or 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
It's about
the
maximum,
ones you don't pay for.
Right. The maximum time frame for the majority of them.
Mazel tov.
So that was interesting. And then we had Valentine's Day. Did you have anything interesting going on for the V-Day?
Nah, just brought home some flowers. Got the Star Wars earrings for the wife, which are really cool.
Did they finally come in? 'Cause
they
I know.
Did 2 days after Valentine's Day.
Yeah,
but it was
my
kicker, you know?
Yeah, my Valentine's Day present to the missus was about a week late.
Holy fuck, really?
Yeah.
Yikes.
So that's...
Oh, thank you, mail order presence and right. last minute planning.
There you go.
Did it go over well, though?
I mean, it did. Everything I think she's utilizing it. It's sad that...
Dildo, right?
That now, that you and I are both in relationships where it's like you get the other person something practical. You know, it's like, I know you've been needing this electronic pencil sharpener, honey. Here it is.
Thanks.
Yeah, as opposed to like, oh, I know you've been wanting this necklace at the fucking flea market
right. for
a month. I finally went and got it, and here you go. So
you save those big boys for Christmas and birthdays.
But I have been wanting to set up my table at the flea market
for about
a month now.
It's been rained
mm-hmm. every Saturday.
God's telling you something.
For the last, like, month. And then for the last 2 weeks, it's rained pretty much every day. So work-wise, it's impacting me, which is really fucked up because I love overcast, rainy weather. I would choose that every mm-hmm. day. But... it's just like, I've got all this shit in my house. I want to get it out of my house. I want to do the flea market. Give me just one Saturday. It can rain 24 hours a day, the other 6 days a week. Just give me one Saturday where it's not 40 degrees and raining the entire goddamn day. That's all. That's all I need.
It's a lot to ask for.
It is. It is.
From God, you guys aren't in good terms.
We aren't. But I'm hoping that he kind of extends the olive branch,
mm-hmm.
As they say,
mm-hmm.
biblically speaking. And hopefully I can get that out of the way on Saturday, which will give me a little room to operate. And you know how my OCD is.
Mm-hmm.
When I feel like shit is closing in on me and there's no room to walk in my own house, it fucks with me, like,
yes.
big time. So, one way or the other, this Saturday, shit's getting out of my house. If it's rainy weather, I'm putting it all by the curb or taking it all to Goodwill and saying...
I was going to ask that, like, what's the breaking point where it's just like, okay, it's been 40 days, 40 nights of fucking
yeah,
deluge.
This will be the fourth weekend. Of this attempted trek.
Yeah.
So it's been rained out three times.
Yeah, I'd be getting near that red line too, where I'm like, look, somebody will make use of this.
Right.
Boom.
So I'm to the point where it's like, yeah, I'd like to make a couple extra bucks, kind of try out the flea market thing for future reference, see how it is as a vendor and not a seller, blah, blah, blah. But if it doesn't happen this Saturday, that'll be four Saturdays in a row. Next Saturday, I have stuff going on. I got an open house. I got my nephew's second birthday, blah, blah, blah. And this weekend, I shouldn't even be doing it because it's my birthday this weekend. But you know what? Fuck them. I want this shit out of my house. That's my birthday present to myself.
Wow.
Is one way or the other, my house is going to get fucking clear. So,
well, I hope God gives you that for your birthday.
I hope so too.
We haven't spoken since Mardi Gras.
Okay.
What did you do for Mardi Gras? I did nothing. You know that though.
I did nothing.
Oh.
Tuesday, some friends encouraged me. Is a nice way to put it. I will say, strong armed me into going to the Biloxi parades.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the saddest, most depressing.
Pretty wild, huh?
I left after about 45 minutes, kind of a affair I had ever seen.
Too much partying? Too many floats in that time? Too good throws? You couldn't take it?
Too many trailers with tissue paper on the side of them?
Mm-hmm.
Too few teeth, just in general. too many LMFAO songs being played on repeat, back to back, on every float. So that was generally those. I mean, those are three of 100 problems I had with it, but just those three enough in tandem were enough to kind of push me over the line.
Wow. I'm sorry you had to experience that.
Yeah, it was definitely a signal. Hey, next year, I don't care what the fuck comes up. going to New Orleans at least one day. That's it.
Right.
No questions asked.
There's only, once you see how it should be, there's only like so much pretending or drinking so it's acceptable that one can do, you know?
Yeah. I'm like, if I want to get plastered, I'll get plastered.
I can do that at home, my underwear.
But I don't have to pretend like I'm going to see a legitimate Mardi Gras parade to do it.
Right.
Because it's not.
Too many old white people, too. Not enough young black people. I mean, to really give it an authentic, like, vibe that something is happening.
Well, I mean, that, and God bless them, I think they were trying. But the marching bands, when you're used to O. Perry Walker, McDonough 35, St. Og Marching 100, and then you see the Ivoryville High School, it's like, yeah.
Playing Johnny B. Goode or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
not enough soul.
Your rendition of the three-chord Louie Louie is unlistenable. So, just march, basically, please. Just
past me, quickly.
Keep on rolling.
Well, that's good. That's exciting. The Oscars, were you going to talk about that later? Or?
You know what? We had talked about doing a show beforehand and setting it up, and I don't think I've seen
a movie that was
nominated this year.
My hairdresser was like, "Are you going to watch the Oscars?" I was like, "I don't know what's going on.
I don't know." And it's so weird because I know so many actors and actresses that are like that, and people say, "Oh, how are you in the business?" And not.
I chose not to go to the Oscars this year. What do you mean?
Well, for one, like, I'm not going to pay $10 plus another $20. In popcorn and a Coke to see a movie that I am not in love with or must see in the theater.
Right.
Like,
I'm an actor, not a critic.
Like, you know? If it's a big time blockbuster summer popcorn movie and I just gotta see it on the big screen, that's one thing. But, you know, a foreign film that's done really good and actually got sent to the theaters, I can wait until I can watch it in my own house and not have some, you know, asshole talking behind me or some old lady dentures popcorn combo going on in my ear or some baby crying down the aisle, you know. I don't need to pay $30 for the pleasure.
I might see like maybe two or three movies a year in a theater that I really want to see. You know, I'll see maybe four or five just with the kid and stuff, something to do. Right. But that's just passing existence.
Yeah, I would say I average between five and eight movies a year.
And that's a good point. Like, as an actor, you think other people come to you and they're like, well, isn't this important to you? Like, not really. You know, everybody works their ass off. You know, 80% of the time, a lot of people fly by, they don't deserve it. And if something's going to stand the test of time, I don't need to run out and break my nuts to see it right now because Vanity Fair is writing about it.
Yeah.
I said, I'll read Google in 15 minutes the next day on Monday and I'll know who won.
Yeah.
And one that did win that I did see was the Johnny Depp Gecko movie, Rango, that I recommend you see. Well done. Great for a kid's film because it actually has senses of danger in it, and there's light cursing in it, which, you know, I would consider PG cursing almost, like hells and dams. You're not going to see that in a Disney movie or a DreamWorks, so it was impressive to see that in a good animated film.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the last movie I went and saw, but I can't.
I saw J. Edgar. That was just like...
Yeah, I saw that.
Makeup was terrible.
I saw that in theater. I can't. I think I've seen one since then, but I might not have.
Well, I got three selections that are on Netflix right now that you need to stick in your brain.
Okay.
And everybody out there needs to as well.
That's the first time anybody's ever done this motion to me and said, stick something in your brain.
Jab three fingers at you?
I've gotten the stick something in with this motion before, but never.
I wasn't being polite about it and like combining them together in a single rod.
That would have been the gentlemanly thing to do.
No, I spread it. Boom. You did. I did the W.
That was just just painful to think about.
And I won't tell you which holes these are intended for. They are all BBC productions.
Okay.
Right there, it kind of makes them floaters, at least. They're, you know, starting out a little better than your average American television show.
I would agree with that.
Two shows are created by the same fella, David or James Moffat, I think. Don't correct me if I'm wrong. They are a reimagining of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde called Jekyll.
Okay.
And the second one is a reimagining of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's Sherlock. Okay. With Martin Freeman, who you may remember in from the British Office. He was in that and played the guy whose name I can't remember. He's also going to be the future Bilbo Baggins. I'll start talking about Jekyll first real quick. It's set in modern times. It's kind of has some campy pitfalls of BBC shows. It's like people in Russia dress like it's, you know, the mid-90s because they just haven't caught up culturally yet.
Okay.
And the BBC still films things like it's the mid-90s. So there's some scenes that are kind of like, this is a little cheese, but the acting's so good and the story is intriguing enough to where you're like, pass. And they're all charming and British anyway. And it's just basically the age-old story of, you know, man separating his base primal desires from his social expectations and his own control over himself. And how they recast the story is interesting. It's acted very well. The guy that plays, of course, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, they put some slight makeup on him to kind of accentuate some of his features when he's Jekylling out. And it's a very subtle but distinct and powerful choice from the makeup department there, and it works. I mean, the first time you see it, you're like, oh, that's a different guy. Oh, no, it is the same guy. Good series. And even better because it's contained. There's six shows, and boom, you're done. That's their season. They kind of leave it open to where they can continue, but they don't have to. It was a good story. Some good moments in there where, you know, the power of his family is more of a driving force than him wanting to go out and fuck and drink and smoke all the time.
Right.
And that part of himself is kind of put forward as a child. It's like the desires of an unbridled 5-year-old, but in the body of a 40-year-old man that has money and, you know, instead of wanting to eat chocolate all the time, he wants to eat pussy. So Jekyll, check it out. Okay. And you know, my prescription for actually testing a show out is to watch at least 3 shows before you tell me, Ryan Reinecke, that it sucks, because right. I don't recommend things.
Hey,
lightly.
I watched an entire season of Breaking Bad before I told you it sucked.
Oh, man.
So
I respect that. I respect that you're incorrect in not liking it, because it's like not liking gold out of dead people.
That's true.
But it was
because
very kind
people
of you.
And gold also both depress the shit out of me, which is exactly
like
Breaking Bad did.
And speaking of which, I'd like you to give me a show that I could watch 3 episodes of that I haven't seen before and try to get into.
There was a show on Fox, a reality show called Cops. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
Is it new?
It's in its first
season. Game show?
It's in its first season. It's a very good show. You should check it out.
Is it like contestants?
Sort of.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a loser.
Okay.
Not always a winner.
All right.
But there is always a loser.
Ooh, that's
so it's
very human.
Yeah, it's
very human.
The producers really did some tricks.
Okay, I gotta look into that. What's it called? Cops?
Yes. COPS.
Okay.
Because it really poses an important sociological question, which is, what are you going to do when they come for you?
Oh, behavioral science.
Yes.
So it's probably on the Discovery Channel or something like that?
No, it's on Fox.
Really?
Yeah. It got greenlit before Fox went to shit.
Okay. But back in the good old days.
Right.
You know,
of
quality programming.
You're America's Most Wanted.
Uh-huh.
Those kind of things. Uh-huh. So check it out. There's a BBC show. I don't know if it's still on, but I never really followed the plot because I was always so mesmerized by the cinematography. It was called Little Dorrit.
Mm.
Don't know if you're familiar.
Mm-mm.
BBC show, probably in the vein of your Jekyll or your Downton Abbey mm-hmm. or those kind of films.
Oh, fuck Downton Abbey. Yeah. I was going to talk about that shit.
Really?
Yeah.
Hit me.
Downton Abbey. Okay. Fucking, it is like scripted Jersey Shore and
yes.
the Kardashians for people that don't have horseshit in their fucking head. It's awesome. It's great. It is so well costumed, scripted. The characters are so identifiable and well defined, but all the slicing and backbiting and tendon tearing is so under the surface and contained by this contrived regimentation of how people interact with each other based on the divisions of their classes. And it's around a time where those walls are starting to be blurred and break down a little bit. Have you seen any of them?
I've not.
I heard about it and I was like, oh, I gotta check that out. Then it was on Netflix. Season one. Just tore through. Ripped down season two. Tore down through those. Lord Grantham, the Earl, it's his land, Downton, is like the most sweet, omniscient kind of nobleman that you can think of. I've been pushed to tears several times in this show. There's two of the housekeepers that are just fucking scum, slimy, just... I mean, they're not in the best position. They're housekeepers. But the way they behave towards each other and the other housekeepers is just abysmal. Like, they're trying to bring them down. And it's like, why? You know, aren't you guys all doing this together? But it's just the perverse joy they get out of it. There's some homosexuality thrown in there. There's some, like, oh, well, aren't all people created equal thrown in there. There's the experiment of America that's kind of in the wings that people talk about from time to time. And Maggie Smith is in it. So just based on Maggie Smith rocking and being a peacocky old noble bitch is far worth it.
Right.
And then there's three daughters that are Lord Grantham's daughters. And the one that you think is the main one is cute, but she's got kind of a moony face. And the one I really got the bone for is the middle daughter who's interested in women's rights. And boy, you should see a look on people's faces when she showed up for dinner one time with pants. Oh, boy.
Wow, that's pretty cutting edge stuff there.
It is. It's like a runaway success. So Downton, not Downtown.
Yeah, I've seen a lot about it. I've just never watched it. It was kind of like the Breaking Bad thing, where it was like everybody I knew had talked about it, or I saw mm-hmm. 1,000 posts on Facebook, or I read some shit on 100 websites about it, but I just never watched it. But I did sit down and watch the Breaking Bad. But Little Dorrit, of course, based on the Charles Dickens book, but the cinematography in the BBC series is just... I mean, it's like watching a painting. You know what I mean? Every frame of the show is like a freaking painting. And I just want to take the cinematographer and just slap him on the ass and be like, hell of a job, man. Hell of a job.
I will check it out. Yes. Little Dorrit. And you should check out Downton Abbey. Also beautifully shot. They do this like hazing effect on the periphery of some scenes. It's like a wide shot where it kind of makes it dreamlike and... almost impressionistic to a certain degree.
Oh, speaking of gold teeth and dead people, mm-hmm. Whitney Houston.
The singer?
Yes.
Yes.
How about that?
New album?
Yeah. It's called Death Becomes Her.
Is that a movie with Bruce Willis?
It is, but her album is a play on that.
Wow. That's risque.
Yeah, it's... Came out a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. A lot of media hype.
That's why they've been playing her so much on the radio.
A lot of media hype. Mm-hmm. They've been interviewing. TMZ's been covering the story a lot.
You know, she's been around so long, she could take a dump and it would make headline news.
Yeah.
She could OD or something. People would be like, she's a saint.
Well, she took a bath and just That's all
they people, put that on the news.
That's all
really?
People talked about.
Did what TMZ get some nudie shots or something?
I think they posted a picture of her in the bathtub. God,
so like them.
And
is it hot?
You know, people. I haven't seen it.
Okay.
But people were all, you know, up in arms about it, and you know, blah blah blah. But anyway, so check it out. Death Becomes Her.
Death Becomes Her.
New album. Dropping soon, I'm sure.
You can
write that one down. That was a good one. Dropping soon.
Dropping soon. Yes. Is that the B side? Or?
No, it's her A side. Okay. It's well, but both sides actually are going to drop. Have dropped.
Yeah.
Yes.
Going deep on that one, huh?
Uh-huh.
That's cool.
About I'll 6 feet, actually. I think about 6 feet deep.
6 feet records.
Six feet under. Is the name of the production company.
Oh, did she do some songs for that show?
She did. Okay. We had a roller derby game, which we did recently. That was fun. That was a roller derby game.
Yeah, you get more people out there.
Damn. We do. I think the lack of booze has a lot to do with it.
Yeah, I know. If you got to go out and do something with your kids, it's a sporting event, you can't drink. I mean, what's the point? You can stay at home and yell at the TV.
Well,
oh, wait, before I get too far from it.
Please.
Other two shows, BBC.
Okay.
Sherlock. Excellent.
Yes.
Jeremy Brett is Sherlock Holmes. Okay. He did it in, like, the 80s.
Okay.
Jeremy Brett. Fucking, that is Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's Sherlock. That right there. Granada Television and associated with the BBC did that back in the 80s. Totally check that out. I think some of those might be available on Netflix. Not so sure. But the new ones... Sherlock, there are three that are available on Netflix. Season one, with Martin Freeman, who plays Dr. Watson, and can't remember the fellow's name, Cumberbatch, that plays Sherlock Holmes. Just this guy that just looks so angular and thin. He looks like a fucking alien. He doesn't even look like a person.
Right.
And so that really goes well with Sherlock's personality of, like, he's not like everybody. He can't, nor does he want to, understand how normal people you know, work in their heads. He knows how people behave, and that's how he can deduce his things. And, I mean, Robert Downey Jr., I love the guy, don't get me wrong. Those movies were okay, but that had to do with as much, you know, that Sherlock Holmes is as Indiana Jones and the alien head had to do with who Indiana Jones is.
Right.
Just like a horrible abortion interpretation of yes. what it should be. Story-wise, these are really well-written. They're all updated to modern times. So instead of Dr. Watson writing these things in his journal, his exploits with Sherlock Holmes, he's keeping a blog on the events that he does. And it modernizes in certain ways and also plays that into Sherlock's technology and how he interacts with the world. Season one, very powerful. The second episode was kind of didn't like that one too much. But one and three, very good, very well acted. Got a big Sherlock boner, not to be disappointed. It was satiated. And then I just saw season two that just came out on PBS of this series of Sherlock, of which ended with such an excellent show. The last show in season two was very, very well directed, the best of the entire series. So Sherlock, Jekyll, Sherlock better than Jekyll, also developed by the same guy. And the third one, BBC, is a show called Luther. Have you ever seen The Wire?
I've not seen The Wire.
Okay. Anybody who has seen The Wire, one of the main gangsters, Idris Elba, who plays the right-hand man of the main drug kingpin. This guy is an American-British actor, big, tall, black dude. Oh, man, I wish I could remember his character name from The Wire. It'll come to me in a second. And also is like a DJ slash rapper and a very good actor too, and like a good looking black guy with probably a huge dick, and I just envy him so much. I want him to be mine. I want him to have me.
So you want
yeah.
me
I want
putting
to
it in your
spit
mouth.
On his monolith. He's taught me how to walk, actually. Walk like you have a big penis. You know, kind of with your legs like apart,
just,
almost like a
you
cowboy.
You could have just watched me walk.
As though you have a big penis. Did I say that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No.
Because you...
I walk really awesome.
Yeah? Okay. I should, so, I mean, should watch
can't
it.
Can't be that far.
I don't watch you in wide shot, though. I watch well, this Sterling.
Well, to see my penis, you'd have to. Not a standard def.
And modesty, too. But Luther, modern cop show, very good. Kind of, I know cop shows, blah, but this is done well. This guy has a lot of personal problems. He's very smart. He feels too much. He cares too much. So that compromises, you know, the cop work ethic sometimes to where he has to skirt protocol to do what he needs to do. And it sounds trite,
yeah,
but the way that they do it is done very well. Because there's nothing new under the sun, you know. Yeah. Fucking shit Shakespeare wrote was, you know, stories that were told 1,000 times over before he did. It's just putting them in a new cast that makes them, you know, unique.
Right.
So Jekyll, boom. Sherlock, boom. Luther, boom. In the order of best to good, Sherlock best. Luther in a second and Jekyll in a third. And Downton Abbey is just apart from all those. I'd probably put Downton above Sherlock, actually.
Okay.
Just well, how well it's done.
I've got them written down. I will check them out. You still have to give me that first episode of...
Homeland?
Yeah, of Homeland.
Gotta give you the first three.
And then I also need to see Texas Killing Fields.
Oh, God, yeah.
So those are the things. All right, we're taking a break. We'll be back in five. Over the break, we're going to play you a video I found on YouTube. Actually, it was I saw a link to it, checked it out. It's a video from circa 1987. It was taken at a press conference of the one and only Jim Mora, longtime New Orleans Saints head coach. And apparently this was shot after a preseason scrimmage between the New Orleans Saints and the Kansas City Chiefs, in which point it sounds like the Chiefs kicked the shit out of the Saints, which is not hard to believe. And this was Jim Mora talking to reporters on the field after that preseason scrimmage. So enjoy, laugh your ass off. I know I did. And we'll be right back.
Jim, obviously you're not happy.
Oh, we got our ass kicked. We got our ass kicked. It was sickening. We have 18 plays on offense. First 18 plays, we turn the ball over, one for a touchdown. The other one's going to set up a touchdown. We can't, you know, we got backs that can't hang on to the ball. They out-hit us. They out-toughed us. You know, we stunk today. We're not even close between that football team and our football team. Not even close. Ridiculous. We run two screens. We don't block anybody. We get a back, gets his knee blown out on one of them. Can block anybody. We stunk. Just stunk.
Jim, injuries.
Dean told me he blew his knee out. You know, you got to block people on a screen. Shit, he gets the ball out there, and two guys, big old animals, nail his ass. Shit. It's ridiculous. We run a screen before that, we get our ass nailed.
What about scales, coaches?
I don't know. You know, Dean said he couldn't put any weight on his leg. That didn't sound too good to me. Shit, we're down. You know, we're down in back. We're down in everything. We you know, shit. We don't have enough people right now. It'll be hard to practice next week. Effectively.
Pinkett done for the year, you think?
I don't know. Dean told me it looked like he tore two knee ligaments. That didn't sound very encouraging.
Do you take into account at all the fact that they bear?
I don't take into account shit. All I take into account is they kicked our ass today. That's what I take into account.
Stowers.
Well, let me just tell you something. He looked pretty good, right? They cut him before they came to camp. The Kansas City Chiefs cut Stowers before they came to camp. Looked pretty good for us. Maybe that shows you the difference between our team and their team. I don't know.
Will you go back to...
What do you guys think about that? Pretty good indication, right? They won't even bring him to camp. Shit, he looks like a star of the day for the Saints.
Will you change the focus of practice?
Depends if we got anybody that can practice. You know, we can line up and do something.
Jim, was the effort there today? Did you?
It was all right. You know, Buford Jordan goes in there and gets a little hit and knocks the ball out. Head gets in there, gets a little hit, ball goes out. Shit, I don't know if that's effort or not. It's horse shit ball carrying, I know that. Horse shit.
Okay, and welcome back to this, our second half act.
Second half act.
It'll be about that time.
Half act. So that was Jim Mora
mm-hmm.
with the post-Chiefs rant. So I really like the quote, "I don't take into account shit." I think that should be on my tombstone, because that's pretty much, if you could succinct my general philosophy into as few words as possible, being that I have been accused of being wordy in the past, and by some members of the proletariat,
really?
Amy J. I thought he was very succinct.
Pithy, very, very yes. tight. So would it have an exclamation point? Like, "I don't take into account shit." Or would it just be period, just here it is?
I think it would be emphatic, but it wouldn't be like exclamatory.
So italic with a period, maybe?
Yeah.
That's classy. So. I like that, yeah.
No.
Instead of "here lies a good man," you know, right. you want something that stands out.
Right.
I'm totally with you.
Did you hear that Adele, one our only favorite pop star of the last 10 years, is taking a hiatus from music, apparently?
No.
She wants to focus on the family, and after she, you know, I think she's about to get married and wants to have kids and blah, blah, blah. And so I guess, hey, go out while you're on top. I'm sure she'll be back eventually. But, I mean, she just cleaned fucking house at the Grammys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Clean fucking house. And I'm glad she did, because, I mean, you know, her or Maroon 5, who would you rather listen to for a fucking hour?
Have you heard a band called Muse?
I've heard of them. Everybody I knew that listened to them was very hipster. And
Yeah, I guess they kind of are hipster. They do a lot of music that's sounds very 80s. Okay. Inspired.
Okay. Like 80s pop or like 80s fucking...
Like 80s Depeche Mode.
Morrissey kind of.
Yeah, a little more... Not that would have been top 40 back in the 80s, okay. You know, not shitty 80s. And they do it with some with respect, so it's kind of... That
so
meets a little
like
radio-heady. No, it's done well. Like the lyricist... is smart, and their lyrics are written well, and it's sung well, and aesthetically it's produced very well. Like, there's this big old nerd back at Keesler that I worked with, Big White John. It sounded like somebody whose name I can't remember. What's the big guy that gets all the roles with the curly hair? And
Spud McConnell.
Yes. No. Younger. Did the Green Hornet.
Oh, Jonah Hill?
No, not that fat guy. Big guy in the Stoner movie.
Seth
with
Rogen.
James Franco. Yes, thank you. Ugh, can't remember his name. Seth Rogen. Sound exactly like him. You could do voiceover work for him. Anyway, he's like, "Oh, Muse, check it out." I was like, "Ah, you're a bigger nerd than I am, so clearly whatever you like that I don't know about has to thereby be, you know, crap." Then I listened to it and I was like, "Damn, this guy's onto something." Props to Big White John. Thank
there you.
You.
Maybe you can find a Muse selection for our playout music since we're not going to do the atypical Whitney Houston. See, we can send a shout out to Etta James when she passes away.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Whitney, I think we can pass. I mean, Chris Christie, the governor in New Jersey, already made him fly flags at half staff on the day of her funeral. So,
wait, she died?
She did. Anyway, if you followed us on Twitter... you would know that. That was my very poor attempt at a segue to plug our Twitter because, you know, not to pat myself on the back, but hey, I come up with some pretty witty shit. And it gets, my tweets get retweeted at least like once every 6 months or so.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's viral.
Yeah, I'm fucking...
You gotta show me how that works because I try to read a tweet and it's just, hey, totally, at... Pumpernickel.
You know,
I'm like, what? I have no idea.
Yeah, Amy's been trying to explain it to me for the better part of a year, and I've learned how to actually tweet something, and I've learned that if you want, you can send what they call a direct message, which is private, but if you want to say, "Hey, Ryan, your face looks like a Aboriginal asshole," then you could say like at Ryan Reinecke space your face looks like an Aboriginal asshole.
And is that and like then, whispering then do, it to me, or then, is that then, like proclaiming
no, it's,
it?
It's like saying it publicly. Like,
okay.
Hey, everybody, this is what I'm saying to Ryan Reinecke.
Yeah.
And okay. then you could, the hashtag is, you can use it kind of as a witty thing. Like, I could hashtag that joke about your face by mm-hmm. saying Native people.
Right. Okay.
So it's kind of like.
Kind of like a subject filing or something.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, do a decimal system.
But you can be witty with it.
Right, right.
So that's, I finally figured out the hashtag business, I think. And the other 472 things you can do on Twitter, I've got no fucking idea.
Well, maybe I can get you.
And we'll never attempt to learn.
Maybe we can get Amy J. Drunk one night, and she can break it down to us, just very short, like we're retarded, and she just doesn't want to have to explain it anymore, so she... It'll, in her mind, crystallize to the most direct way to get it to us.
Right.
Because that might help.
Yeah, she's very direct after she's had a couple.
Really? So, good. I appreciate that.
Yes.
So most
she
times.
Would probably talk about everything she hated about the podcast. And
that's
then,
good.
Then mention the two things that she likes. And
as long as it's not like you guys.
Right.
And when it ends being the best thing. Because... That's
it would probably
hard to work
be
with.
Something along those lines, but she is a dedicated member of the proletariat. She listens every episode, so, you know, hey, she's entitled to her own opinion
true
one
that.
Way or the other. So,
I'm buying a car.
You're buying a car?
Yes.
An automobile?
An auto, yes.
Okay.
An auto rig.
Does it have four wheels?
Hopefully.
Okay.
Yes. Looked at motorcycles, great gas mileage.
Right.
Kid, not so. It's hard to put the baby seat on that,
no
even
faith
with even
in your
bungee
child.
Cords. I got two cars. I got three cars right now.
Wow,
that's just how I roll.
Fucking, who are you, Mitt Romney? All
no,
of a sudden,
no. I got two that are kind of dead in the water. So they pretty much equal a car. One is very good to drive. Gas mileage isn't too shitty. It's about 26. And then I got a Crown Victoria that's from 1996, gets about 18 miles a gallon, so shitty gas mileage, and it's creaky, and the windows don't work. And on the one that works well, it's got a cracked radiator, which I've patched with some like little metal glue clay that you meld together and then you put over, so that's only going to blow sometime in the future. And there's no air conditioning or heat or radio in it. So it's
Tell
a jalopy.
Tell me what's wrong with the car.
You're being facetious.
I am.
So all this taken into account, tax return come back. So I'm like, either we can increase our relative comfort in our destitute poordom
right.
over the next, you know, 4 months.
Sure.
Or we can invest it in something that will end up saving us money in the long run, i.e. getting a car with better gas mileage, save money. Boom.
Right.
And sell off these other two cars, maybe get a little bit back to live a little comfortably on.
Sure.
So, good friend of mine, friend of the show, CB Sean,
okay.
A mechanic, works on all kinds of complicated machinery. I trust his opinion.
Yeah.
I was talking to him one night and his lovely wife, Lucy Furbrall, about gas mileage, and they have a Mini Cooper. And they're like, hey, I guess good gas mileage, but if you really want good gas mileage, get a TDI. It's like, TDI, what's that? Turbo diesel injected. Get a diesel. It's like, diesel, isn't that like terrible for the environment and like stink ass?
Yes.
And much more expensive on the fuel? Is like no and a little bit no. It's much cleaner than it used to be, just from the processes of the engines have gotten so much better. I mean, it's actually got clearance in California, so you gotta know it's good. About 50 cents more a gallon today, usually about 30 cents more a gallon, but gas mileage on it. Get a 2003 Volkswagen Jetta, gets about 46 miles a gallon. Not so bad. That's like Prius territory.
That is Prius territory.
But not quite, because you're paying a little bit more a gallon. So,
right.
But still, it beats the fuck out of any gas machine that you can do. That is
right.
Not a hybrid.
Right.
Can't afford a hybrid because it's got a premium on it. And I'm still kind of sketchy about the battery packs. And, you know, I don't want to buy like a 2002 Prius that I might be able to afford, but then have the battery fuck out after a little bit. So I've been going back and forth with him, and he's been helping me for like questions to pose to potential sellers and stuff like that. So I'm excited about that. I'm actually looking forward to spending about $5,000. I'm excited about that prospect.
Wow.
because I'll have a new vehicle. Right. It'll be manual. I've never driven a manual car, never had one.
I haven't either.
My wife has owned one. And you just get better gas mileage. So when you put that into bed with the diesel, it works out very well. And about a 2003 Jetta gets about the same price as a Civic that I can afford.
You know, it will complicate your daily trips by the middle school while you're masturbating. Because you'll have to you can steer with your knee.
Yeah.
You can shift with one hand. Huh? But you'll still be having to open and close your legs based on moving your left foot from the brake to the clutch.
Right. Well, you just have to know which gear to keep it in as you go by the middle school. That's all.
Okay.
You set your gear, I'm going to guess second gear.
Okay.
And then knee, bottom of the wheel, dick and hand.
Right.
Other hand on the car's dick.
Okay.
Which is weird because I had a jack off today at the science fair. I was just so keyed up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it happens, though.
Yeah, it does.
I was in the bathroom nobody was using, so it was cool. Okay. I'm excited about that. So if there's any proletariat out there that know anything about diesel automobiles, not like an F-150,
I know you can convert them to vegetable oil.
Yeah, I have heard this.
So,
but you just can't run out and buy some Crisco and pour it in there. It's more selective than
absolutely,
that.
Absolutely. And I'm just saying, if you want to talk about fucking cheap gas, and you're right down the street from Hart's Fried Chicken, which I am sure goes through daily what you could use for a month.
Yeah, but there's a setup. Like, I'd have to set up an entire filtration system.
Right.
And come up with, like, some way to get, you know, 18 gallons of chicken oil over to my place to put in my filtration system. So that's a little bit of a cost up. But in the long run, it would probably save you, and I would drive around smelling like fried chicken.
Which, would be fucking amazing.
There are worse things I could think of.
Yes. I would drive behind you. You coming this way, Ryan?
Just put little pieces of bread in your mouth.
No,
so
I don't need a ride. I just want to follow you. Where are you going?
Why are you talking like that, Jonathan? Don't matter. Just drive, boy.
Grease makes me do things.
Drive, chicken man. Okay.
Where was that? Remember when we were kids, they used to have that chicken car that would drive around? With the big fucking chicken head on top of it?
Yes.
You remember that?
Yeah. Was that out of Biloxi or something, I think?
I don't know. Where was that? The fucking chicken car. It was like all white, and then it had a big fucking chicken head coming out of the roof. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I vaguely remember it. Yeah, I remember seeing it at, I don't know, different events, different fairs and stuff. And, of course, at random times down the highway.
Maybe it's just like a... went in a drag race, the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile or the fucking chicken car?
Chicken car. Well, but Oscar Mayer's more
car was
aerodynamic.
Like an 82 fucking Impala, and the Oscar Mayer Wiener car is like state of the art. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but people will know what that is. You know, I kind of want to be the kid that has something that nobody else has.
Yeah, I was just wondering which one would win in a drag race. I'm not asking you which one you would prefer to drive.
I thought you were asking me which one I would
want to win. No, the Wienermobile, oh my God, dude. That must get seriously probably 2 miles a gallon.
Well, you can't get much more aerodynamic than a hot dog.
A big fucking wiener?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I mean, you've seen me run.
I have. Mm-hmm. I have indeed. So I got a residuals check last week.
Mazel tov.
Yes. For Jonah Hex.
$5,000.
If you subtracted $4,984, yes, $5,000.
Yeah. Right. $16?
Dude, 16 bones, man.
Fuck.
From pay TV. Yes. So, like, three people ordered Jonah Hex on their fucking Holiday Inn. It was probably by accident, too.
Sad thing is that's an aggregate of, like, 3,000 people.
They were trying to order, like, you know, Big Booty Hoes Volume 7, and then they ordered
Jonah Sex.
Jonah Hex.
And they were like,
this
movie?
They tried to order Jonah Sex. It was the real Jonah Hex, and they were fucking livid, but they were too embarrassed to call the front desk and cancel it because they didn't want to say, I meant to order Jonah Sex.
I was going
to
jerk off.
Yes. And now I'm looking at fucking Josh Brolin and
jerking off.
Yes.
I haven't gotten any residuals from the Texas Killing Fields. So should I call my, like, SAG area representative and be like, hey, I want my $80 or whatever the first residual check would be. I mean, it didn't open theatrically, but still it's available for DVDs. So there's money coming in somewhere. So don't know what to do about that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I would, yeah, that's a tough call because you don't want to call and be like, hey, and then them think you're, you know, like a
poor actor,
supporting actor or something in the movie. And then they look you up and be like, your fucking line was cut, dude. Why are you fucking with us?
They kept one line in. So my voice is in there. My face is in there.
You deserve residuals regardless.
Well, they're knocking on my mailbox with, hey, you owe us dues also.
Right.
So I'm like, you want your sweet dues? I want my sweet money. But the ironic thing is the dues are probably people worth
it. Sure.
My residual would be. Yeah. So.
No, they would be for mine. But my Venus flytrap has finally come back around.
Good.
I moved it inside.
Good.
I put the Gatorade bottle on top of it to make like a terrarium.
Hmm.
Kind of.
So incubate it a little bit?
Yeah. Make it a little more humid in there.
That's good. And, good idea.
And it fucking sprang to life. So
good for that, man. I was worried about the little guy.
Hopefully I will have some Venus flytrap action in the very near future. So stoked about that.
Right on.
But that's really all I have.
Well, good, man. Yeah, I think my slate is pretty clean. I gabbled about everything I want to, more or less.
All right. Well, what are you nerding on this week? Okay. Are you nerded out because of the science fair that you put so much hard fucking work into?
yeah, I'm kind of in a refractory period on that. I've really nerded out on like all those TV shows. Like, right. I mean, I tore ass through Downton Abbey. That was like, you know, 16 episodes or something like that that I watched in the course of, you know, maybe 8 days.
Right.
I was really just digging that. You know, I'm still reading my Lovecraft, and not much more nerding than that, unfortunately. Oh, something nerdy I did. Mechanic nerdy, which is kind of less nerdy. You know, like when you know a lot about cars, people don't call you a nerd. They're afraid you're going to beat them up.
Right. They call you a fucking gearhead.
Right. So that sounds cooler than a nerd on some level.
Right.
The nerd is kind of gaining some momentum. Fixed a car window on one of my shitty cars that wouldn't come back up because the little thing, the little cable that runs it up and down sprung and the motor blew in the car door. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. That's great. So I had to do the trash bag over the car window and tape it down.
It's fucking hot.
Fucking white trash.
Yeah.
And that was there for about a week and a half because it was raining every day.
I remember.
Yeah. Found the part to order online. Although, testament to my taping, didn't get a drop in the car. Found a part online for $79. Had I bought it at AutoZone, would have been $120. Had I went to a mechanic to have them buy and install, would have been about, oh, Christ, $250, $300. Did it myself, bitch. Little YouTube action. And for your information, everybody out there, it's called a window lifter or window lift motor, if you're trying to Google it out. Came in, watched a couple of videos, took the door paneling off on the inside, has some insulation that kind of soundproofs it, where the little holes in the door are, the structural frame. Had to peel that away and then glue that back when I was done with the process, but swapped it out, got it there, window up and down, like you never knew the difference.
There you go.
Yeah.
Fucking.
I felt good about that.
Jesse James.
Felt good about that.
The coast. All right, man. Well, what am I nerding on? Just started P90X again, so my muscles are sore and I'm tired.
Are you pacing yourself better?
I am. I'm pacing myself better. Last time I couldn't fucking walk.
I had unrealistic pacing when I first did it, too.
Yeah. But I got that going in conjunction with the new diet plan, trying to eat a little bit better, a little more healthy, staring 30 in the face. So by the time this hits the airwaves, I will probably be 30 years old and will have
3 decades
elapsed my 20s. So there you go. It's a fucking sad day.
It was a sweet decade.
But anyway, catch us next time. Thanks for tuning in. Hit us up on Twitter at Nerd Aristocracy or on the Facebook, facebook.com/Nerd Aristocracy. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, folks. Check out some of the shows I recommend. Let me know what you think.
Later!